America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good morning. I want to talk to you today about true Christianity. What does it mean when you say you're a Christian? We have lots of people today that call themselves Christians, and the Bible would say, yeah, you're not a Christian. 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John was dealing with the beginnings of Gnosticism. And Gnosticism were the word gnosis in the Greek means to know. And the Gnostics were these guys that said, oh, we have this knowledge. We are elevated Christians. We understand things that you don't understand. And they were tended to be antinomianistic, which is a big word that just means no law. Hey, matter is evil, they said. Only the spirit is good. So it doesn't matter how you live. You can participate in all kinds of sin. Doesn't matter, because all that matters is the spirit. Well, they were false teachers. And John says, beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false teachers and false prophets have gone out into the world. The devil is smart. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's a liar and the father of lies. And how does he get his work done, his devilish work done? By lying to people and by deceiving people. And as you've heard me say many times, I wrote in the book, The Devil's Newsroom, the devil is not one liar among many liars. He's the master liar. He's the master deceiver. And the way that you deceive people is by telling them something that sounds like the truth. Paul said that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. How did the devil come to Muhammad? The first encounter that began, that was the beginning of the satanic religion known as Islam. He disguised himself as an angel. And even Muhammad himself said to his wife, I don't know if I was visited by an angel or a demon. And she said, well, obviously it was an angel because you are a good man. Well, it wasn't. It was a demon. How do you know that? Because it is contrary, the supposed Quran that he got from this angel, quote unquote angel, is contrary to the scripture. It doesn't teach that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. So it's another gospel, as Paul talks about. He even says, Galatians chapter 1, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be anathema, let him be accursed, let him be eternally condemned. Put it in the vernacular, let that person go to hell. They're doing the work of the devil. And it is very, very dangerous to not be discerning when it comes to who really is a Christian. Who, now we can't know for certain on anybody. There were 12 disciples, and Judas was an apostate. Judas was false, and the guys didn't know that. Jesus knew that. Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? And he was speaking of Judas Iscariot. You can't be 100% sure about anybody other than yourself. But you can know, as Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes aren't gathered from thorn bushes, are they, nor figs from thistles. The good tree produces good fruit, the bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Therefore, you will know them by their fruits. So you look to see, what does the guy say? How does he live his life? And then you can tell, is this guy genuine or not? The best you can tell. Now, John says this because he was writing, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. He was writing to show that just because somebody claims the name Christian, that doesn't make him or her a Christian. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, the phrase that Jesus is the Son of God, that's what Jesus said of himself. He called himself the Son of Man. He called himself the Son of God. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is, he has many designations. He is the Lamb of God who died for our sins and rose again on the third day. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And John chapter 5, when Jesus heals the man at the pool, he says to the man, take up your pallet and walk. Well, the man did that. And the Jews were saying to him who was cured, it's the Sabbath. It's not permissible for you to carry your pallet. Well, good night. I've been crippled for 38 years. And he said, well, the guy that made me well, he told me to take up your pallet and walk. And they said, who is the man who said to you, take up your pallet and walk? He said, I don't know. And it says that the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus. He found out it was Jesus who made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. When Jesus said that he was the Son of God, he was making himself equal with God. That's how the Jews understood that. You know, when they were going to stone him, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to stone him. He said, why do you stone me? He said, they said, for a good work we don't stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, claim to be God. So go back to 1 John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of God and God the Son? Jesus said, unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. Unless you believe I am, and the he is in italics in the New American Standard Bible. That's the Bible that I use. It's very, very direct and literal to the Greek. Unless you believe I am he. But he's not really there. So he said, unless you believe I am, you will die in your sins. Before Abraham was born, I am, Jesus said. I am is the name of God. That's the name, Exodus 3, where God appears to Moses at the burning bush. And Moses said, you want me to deliver Israel? They're going to ask me your name. I don't know your name. What is your name? I am who I am. You tell them I am sent you. That is a very sacred, holy name of God. And Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. Well, they knew exactly what that meant. So if you call yourself a Christian, You believe that Jesus is the Christ, as Peter said in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked the question, who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God's Messiah, and you are the Son of God, which is the same thing as saying you are equal with God. John said that in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So a true Christian is somebody that recognizes who Jesus is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. He is the Son of God and God the Son. He is God's only Son and man's only Savior. And apart from Him, you cannot go to heaven. And there is salvation, Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now, a Christian understands who Jesus is, and they understand who they are, a sinner. And you're separated from God, and you can't save yourself. And you're in terrible, horrible trouble. Because as the Bible clearly tells us, the law of God is our tutor to lead us to Christ. And so Ray Comfort, the way of the Master, what does he do? How does he witness? He uses the Ten Commandments to show people that they fall short. And the Ten Commandments were never given to save anybody. They were given to show God's standard and how far we fall from God's standard. And when Jesus came on the scene and he preaches the Sermon on the Mount, he even ratchets up the commandments of God. You've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Well, good night. There were no doubt a lot of people under the sound of his voice that said, well, I've never committed adultery, the physical act of adultery, but good night, I've lusted in my heart many times. You know, as men, I talked about this yesterday, as men, we struggle with that big time, women too, but men primarily, the lust of the flesh is huge, wanting, you know, you see something, where men are visual. And so Jesus upped the ante, so to speak, to show us that we were sinners. And when you understand that you're a sinner, then you understand that you're in trouble and you need a Savior, and that gets you to look up, Lord, save me. And so a Christian is somebody who has put his faith and trust in Jesus, who is God the Son of God and God the Son. He is the only Savior. And a Christian is someone who has had a change in his heart. The Lord has come in and changed him. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So how do you know you've really been saved? How do you know the Lord has really come in? Now it's harder, I get this, when you're young. And many have become Christians when they were young. My oldest daughter, Jill, she became a Christian when she was 8. She didn't have a lot to evaluate. You know, we talk about the BC before Christ and the AD after Christ, you know, after Christ comes in. Well, when you get saved at a young age, there's not a lot of before Christ that you can go back to. This is how Jesus changed my life. Because your life, you know, you're not racking up a lot of sins by the time you're 8. I became a Christian at 17, so I had a lot to say, this is major life change. But here's the reality. When the Lord really comes in, you really give your life to Jesus, lock, stock, and barrel, he gives his life to you. If you're holding back, he doesn't come in. It has to be a full exchange. You give your life to him, then he comes in. And when he comes in, your life begins to change. The acid test of Christianity is life change. And if there is no life change, there is no true salvation. If I come and say, I'm going to move into your house, you would know very quickly somebody else is living here. And especially if I say, hey, you're going to get out of the master bedroom because I'm the master, I'm sleeping here. You're gonna sleep in the guest room. I'm taking over. That's what the Lord does. He comes in and he is Lord. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? You're going to know it when the Lord comes in. Your attitude toward sin is going to be different. Your attitude toward people is going to be different. Your attitude toward the commandments is different. Everything changes. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about true Christianity, true and contagious Christianity. Because when you encounter a true Christian, somebody whose life has radically been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, they impact you. Because, as it says in the book of Acts about Paul and Silas, they upset the world. These men who have upset the world have come here also, it says of them. And a Christian, as Charlie Kirk would point out, he is to be salt and light. He is those things. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, but a salt can get polluted with other minerals and light can be hidden, and we have far too many Christians who have been polluted and the salt has lost its savor, and far too many Christians who hide the light because they struggle with the fear of man. Well, this is what Paul said. I alluded to this earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about the false teachers. And he lets them know, he said, I'm afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, well, you bear this beautifully. You let those guys come in. You don't play around with false teachers. You don't say, oh, I have never heard that before. Tell me more. He goes on to say, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. I was thinking about Dr. Death, Christopher Dunch. He was a neurosurgeon in Texas. That guy was what we would call a false doctor. I mean, he got his degree and all, but he hurt so many people with a surgeon's scalpel. He would paralyze people. He would kill people. He got convicted of gross malpractice. If you've ever seen there have been, you know, television documentaries on him. They call him Dr. Death. Well, he was presenting himself as this wonderful neurosurgeon, when in actuality, he was either the worst neurosurgeon on the planet or he was purposely trying to hurt people. And even his best friend, he turned him into a quadriplegic because he did this work on his neck and damaged the guy to the point of no return. Well, I say all that to say this. You know, it would be much better to deal with a guy who says, yeah, I don't know anything about neurosurgery, but I can get you in touch with a neurosurgeon, versus the guy that says, yeah, I'm a great neurosurgeon, let's go to surgery, and then he damages you or kills you. That is very, very dangerous. Well, we have in Texas the senatorial race between Ken Paxton, who's got lots of baggage, versus James Tallarico, the new darling of the left, who presents himself as this wonderful Christian man who is for, you know, feeding the hungry and caring for the poor and helping the downtrodden. And, you know, he has the same agenda as a Marxist, as far as we're going up against the man, we're going to make things right, social justice. He's at this seminary that is so stinking liberal, Austin Presbyterian Seminary. I mean, you talk about going to a place where you're drinking from the sewer. It is awful. Well, Josh Howerton has been very blunt. Al Mohler came out with a whole program on the briefing, I think it was on Tuesday, talking about James Tallarico. James Tallarico is very, very dangerous. Why? Well, because he looks like Howdy Doody and presents himself as this mild-mannered, kind, oh, you know, I'm telling you the truth here. He's very, very dangerous. I'd rather somebody, it's better to have somebody that doesn't claim to follow Christ to lead you, if he's going to lead you in conservative principles, than a guy who claims to follow Christ and he's lying to you, or he's deceived himself. Josh Howerton, he talks about how, you know, James Tallarico presents himself as a Christian. Hey, do not be deceived. He said this, and somebody posted it on Facebook. He said, I'm going to be hearing about this for the next 6 months as a Texas voter. Let me answer the question. Would you vote for an adulterer over James Tallarico? That's not very Christian. He's talking about Ken Paxton, and how could you vote for him? That guy's got all this moral baggage. He's a terrible guy. And James Tallarico's not a terrible guy in his life. And so here's how Josh Howerton answers that question. He said, I would rather vote for almost anyone else who is going to at least advocate for conservative policies over a literal heretic who wears my faith like a skin suit, advocates for policies that harm children, endorses immorality, and generally harms society. Ken Paxton has personal baggage, I don't deny that, but Tallarico has plenty too, and he openly mocks God's laws and treats Jesus as a political mascot, all the while pushing a radical far-left agenda that would be a disaster for my state. You see, I'm an adult. I do not expect those who are seeking political office to be my moral superiors or even to be trustworthy. They are tools to be used to do the least amount of damage via policy. That's true. I wish more pastors and men who live godly lives were running, I really do, but the options we get are what they are. Paxton supports secure borders, law enforcement, lower taxes, unleashing American energy, the Second Amendment, to name just a few. Tallarico supports unlimited abortion, transing children, higher taxes, government-run health care, and is incredibly comfortable blaspheming the Word of God. I'm not voting for a priest. I'm voting for an imperfect person to represent my interests. That's how it works. You're not going to guilt trip Texans into supporting a Looney Tunes candidate like Tallarico. It's not about policy, or it's about policy, not personality. Well, this was another thing that Howerton had on his program just recently about James Tallarico. Why am I saying all this? Because Tallarico is one of those guys who presents himself as a Christian. And he just is so sweet and mild-mannered, and the guy is, he's poison. He's Dr. Death. You wouldn't hire Dr. Death to be your neurosurgeon because he will kill you or maim you. You'll be in a wheelchair the rest of your life if you're not in a casket, if you let that guy operate on you. The devil is not your friend. He may come to you as an angel of light, but guess what? He's masquerading as that. He's not really that. Well, this was Josh Howerton talking about James Tallarico.
This is not me being mean or exaggerating. He's an actual heretic.
Not once in the entire Bible does Jesus ask us to worship him. All he asks is that we follow him.
I got no words. It's like, hey, man, that's true. Like, maybe if you cut off the entire last book of the Bible, like the whole last book of the Bible is the Lamb is seated on the throne with more people than anybody can count, bowing down and worshiping him, throwing crowns before him, and then anybody who won't do that, he's throwing them into the lake of fire. This is not me being mean or exaggerating. He's an actual heretic, like a biblically defined false teacher and heretic. What this guy does that I've never seen a politician do before that makes me have a little bit more of an edge. Politicians since the beginning of time have been twisting scripture, using scripture to try to convince people to do what they want. This is the first guy I've ever seen who's really his whole platform is using the Bible to convince Christians to support godless things.
Very, very dangerous. Now, I get it. You have in a two-party system like you have, doesn't matter who the Democrat candidate is, Democrats will vote for him. I mean, you could put a sock puppet up there, they're going to vote for them. And people can say, well, Republicans, Ken Paxton, he's got all these problems, all these moral issues in his life, all these, you know, inconsistencies. Well, it's what, you know, we are going to vote policy over person and over personality. And so I'm going to vote for the guy that's going to push conservative principles. And even if he's not very noteworthy as an example of character and integrity and those kinds of things, if he's going to vote for those things, well, yeah, I would want him. But I would want him in office because he's going to help life for the masses. He's not going to hurt life for the masses. So here's my point. Be very careful. Do not believe every spirit, John says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And someone who is lying to you about his belief system and presenting himself as a Christian when he is the opposite of that, that is very, very dangerous. That is the worst of all, because that guy wants to poison your soul. Now, back to God's definition of a Christian. Contagious Christianity, true Christianity and contagious Christianity. You know, one of the things about being a Christian, okay, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you recognize his identity, you put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, you have a change in heart. It changes you. He comes inside and he changes you from the inside out. Your attitude towards sin changes. You have a desire to be pleasing to God, to walk in his ways, to be with the people of God. You have a love for people that you didn't have before. And then you experience God's overcoming power. As it says in 1 John chapter 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, a Christian is somebody who starts to walk in victory. We're walking in the light with Jesus. And what does that mean, to walk in the light with Jesus? It means you're dealing with sin. You're bringing all your sins into the light. When you fall and fail, you immediately confess those to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you experience God's forgiveness and God's power flowing through you as you abide in him. Now, I ran across a video clip from a Christian lawyer, David Gibbs Jr., founder of Christian Law Association, offers free legal help to Christians facing persecution for their faith, He's from Ohio. He's an independent Baptist, a really powerful speaker. And he was talking about a woman who had such contagious faith that it changed his life forever. This is what he had to say.
I was invited to a wonderful all-black church. I'm sitting there and a lady comes in. She sits down from me and she says hello, and I said hello. And I didn't understand, this lady's going to change my life forever. I will leave that service wanting to be like her. She turned to me and she said, "What are you doing here, white boy?" Now, in my whole life, no one had ever called me white boy. I said, well, white boy's going to preach this morning. She looked at me and she said, "You got the stuff, white boy?" I said, "I beg your pardon." She said, "Don't play stupid, white boy." She said, "If the preacher ain't got the stuff, we don't have church. If you don't got it, you sit right down here and let somebody stand up there that's got the stuff." She said, "Now, you got it or not?" I said, "White boy's got the stuff." I didn't know what to say. She said, "They tell you how we do stuff here?" I said, "No." "Oh," she said, "well, let me tell you. Service going to start right on time." She said, "And we're going to sing for at least an hour." She said, "Sometimes we sing more than an hour." She said, "You love to sing, white boy?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I never get enough of it, right? I mean, She says, "After we're done singing, we have testimonies." She said, "People talk about stuff they've been delivered from." She said, "Man, sometimes they stand up and, man, they confess crimes they've done. It's good." And she said, "When they confess a crime, we take them right down to the jail and turn them in." She said, "You've not done any crimes, have you, white boy?" And I thought, "None that I'm talking about this morning, no." She said, "After that, we take the offering." She said, "You love to give, don't you?" And I'm thinking, I don't know what's in my pocket, but it's all going in this morning, man. She said, "Then comes the preaching." She said, "You hear me, white boy? We didn't come to get out. We come to go to church." She said, "If you come to get out, just best you not come."
I love that. "We didn't come to get out. We've come to go to church." Pastors need to remember that. Church members need to remember that. You're there to worship the Lord, not to watch your watch to make sure that the guy doesn't go too long. Let's continue.
"What an insult to God." She said, "Whatever stuff you got, make sure we get it and don't cut it short." She said, "Now, could you do me a favor, white boy?" I said, "Sure." She said, "Could you move over?" I said, "Okay, somebody else coming?" She said, "No." She said, "Because when I get singing, I needs my room." She said, "You see, I'm addicted to praising him." She said, "I don't like it. I adore it." She said, "It's the passion of my life, praising him." I moved over. That dear sister, man, she got singing. And you know what? She's singing and crying, and pretty soon I'm crying. And I don't know why we're crying. Her passion pulled me in. Man, we're singing, and I'm like, boy, I want to praise the Lord like she does. I'm up by the preacher, and I said, "You know that lady down there?" He said, "Yeah, you're sitting down there by Abby, Sister Abby." I said, "Preacher, she's amazing." He said, "Well, did she share her testimony with you?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, David, let me tell you." He said, "Just a couple years ago, her husband and two junior high boys walked down to the bus stop. Early in the morning, some shotguns came out and killed her two boys and her husband. I met her at the hospital and I said, 'Abby, what do you want to do?' She said, 'Let's have church. I need to get back to my passion.'" He said, "Did she tell you she has stage 4 cancer and no money for medicine?" I said, "No, she didn't tell me that. All she did was tell me about her Jesus. And all I know is I want to be like her. Would anybody want to be like you? And do you have a passion to praise?"
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. That's the question. Would anybody want to be like you? We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And as is our practice in this third segment, we're going to open the phone lines 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, love to hear from you. We've been talking about true and contagious Christianity. Is it true? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him? And are you, follow-up question, are you being discipled in the truth of the gospel? Because the devil is working constantly to deceive. As Paul said, "I am afraid, as the devil deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Very, very important that we know the truth, that we walk in the truth, that we constantly come before the Lord, that we evaluate everything based on the Word of God. And when you hear somebody that presents himself, herself as a Christian, you take it back to the Word. Whatever they're telling you, take it back to the Word of God. And is this true, what this person is saying? You are a Berean. A Berean didn't question everything. A Berean verified everything. Examining the scriptures daily, Acts 17:11, to see whether these things were true and were so. And that's how we are to do any teaching that we get. We take it back to the Word. Is this person telling me the truth from Scripture? Now, I had somebody email me and they were saying, you know, you're a false teacher because not everything you say is 100% true. And you, any preacher will tell you, hey, I know I'm not right on 100% of everything that I believe. I can be off on some of, you know, take eschatology, how you understand every, the timeline of all the events. Well, you could be off on that. It doesn't make you a false teacher. When the Bible talks about being a false teacher, you're a false teacher when you're teaching what is wrong concerning the core issues of Christianity. You're preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached. You're preaching a different gospel. That makes you a false teacher. Just to be wrong on finer points of theology doesn't make you a false teacher. And so we all need to be teachable. You know, what is the Lord looking for? He's looking for fat disciples, faithful, available, teachable. And we need to go back to the Word of God to say, okay, what is the Bible really teaching here? I have a lot of dear friends. I had Tom Askell on the program yesterday. He and I do not agree on Calvinism. He's a five-point Calvinist. Somebody asked me the other day, how many points of Calvinism do you believe in? Well, I believe that the perseverance of the saints, once you're saved forever. I believe that man can't save himself. So total depravity. But I'm like David Allen. I don't believe total depravity means total inability. And, you know, total inability means you can't do anything because you are dead. And the Lord has to do everything for you. I believe that once God opens your eyes to truth, then you have a choice to make. Are you going to put your faith and trust in Jesus? I don't think the Lord makes you do that. I don't believe in irresistible grace. I definitely don't believe in limited atonement. I don't believe in unconditional election. Unconditional election means you have nothing to do with it. God chooses you, and that's the way it's going to be. You can't resist his grace. I don't believe that. But I believe that, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. I believe that unless the Lord draws you, no man can come to me, Jesus said in John chapter 6, except the Father who sent me draws him. And when the Lord draws, then you have to say yes or no. You can be like the rich young ruler who, when the Lord felt the love for him and explained to him what he needed to do, that man said no. He went away sad. Acts chapter 7, Stephen, when he was preaching to the Sanhedrin, he said, you men are always resisting the Holy Spirit. I believe that you can resist the Holy Spirit. And I believe when Jesus judges people, what's the judgment? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, but they took pleasure in wickedness. Men choose darkness over the light. They choose their sin over God's Son. And what is the result? Depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, Pastor, good morning. Thank you again for your show. Every morning you're a blessing.
Thanks, brother.
I'm commenting on the fact that would people want to be like me? Now, when I'm at church, I know people want to be like me because my praise and worship, it's just, I love the Lord, and I want to give everything I have to him. But when I get home, after hearing stuff on the news, things I read, things that get at me, I'm like a lion that's just tied to a chain and just wants to get at it. Mm-hmm. And I just get so angry sometimes, and my wife just, I feel bad for her that she even lives with me sometimes because I get so angry. So I don't know if people want to be like me or not, because I'm like a Jekyll and a Hyde.
Mm. Well, David, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, there is righteous indignation when we see things happening, people brutalized. You may have heard the news story about this guy in California who was here illegally, and he killed a mother and her child and her mother. So a grandmother, her daughter, and her two-week-old baby were all killed, murdered by this guy. He's smirking in court. He shouldn't have been there because they should have turned him over to ICE and they would have gotten him out of the country, but they didn't do that. And, you know, you read a story like that, you're horrified, and there's righteous indignation that boils up and bubbles up inside you. That is normal. That is natural, because it's so unjust. You know, I looked at that story and said, that guy needs to be chopped up in little pieces. He thinks this is funny that he killed a mother, her daughter, and her grandchild. Just sickening. Who could kill a two-week-old baby like that? It's just sickening. And then to think it's funny. You know, death is too good for a guy like that. Well, but what you got to watch out for is that doesn't just start taking over. So you give that over. You got to cast that burden on the Lord and see what He wants you to do about that. Okay, Lord, this has come in. This is wrong. How do you want me to respond to that? And not to get angry in your person, but angry at the situation. I mean, God has indignation every day, the Bible says. He gets angry over sin, but He's not an angry God. I heard it said one time, God is not a mad God, He's not a sad God, He's a glad God. In His presence is fullness of joy, and in His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So I would just encourage you, David, to, when you feel all that coming up, and it is righteous anger, not unrighteous anger, just turn that over to the Lord and say, Lord, that, show me, and pray for that situation, but then just give that to the Lord and say, Lord, I cast that burden on you. You show me how, other than prayer, what can I do to make a difference? But I don't want to carry that with me and be angry and then ready to bite everybody's head off because this has me so jostled and angry. But I appreciate the call, David. I appreciate the encouragement and just for your honesty. That is refreshing for sure. God bless you, brother. Well, we have Roy on the line from New Hampshire. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, how you doing?
Doing well.
I just have one quick question, I guess. Do you believe that the modern day minister, the modern day preacher from the pulpit or evangelist is preaching the full counsel of God? Do you believe that they're preaching the full counsel of God? Because people only live out what they're taught and what the Holy Spirit reveals to them in their personal walk with the Lord. Do you believe that the full counsel of God is being preached and taught from the pulpit or from Bible studies? I noticed that a lot, some ministers are afraid to go into the original languages of Greek and Hebrew. So I'm just curious as to what you mm-hmm. would think about that.
Well, I think the church in general is in a terrible state. I think all the mainline churches have gone liberal. We did a whole program on that, the sad state of mainline Protestantism, where you have the Methodists that embrace all sorts of, you know, gross sin and homosexuality and ordain homosexuals to the pastorate. And that's true for Episcopalians. It's true for Lutherans. I played clips from different churches that are doing that stuff. As far as the evangelical church goes, those that would preach Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. Yeah, those churches, many of them, had Willie Rice on the program last week, talked about the show. A lot of big churches, mega churches, they've gotten away from things that they think will hurt their growth, and they want to be all things to all people, and they shy away from Scripture and from teaching that would ruffle feathers and bring conviction. And so, you know, you have, obviously you have churches that are doing a good job preaching the whole counsel of God, and then others that aren't. And so we need to, we're going to have to stand before God as pastors. Let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. And that's why if you preach through the Bible and you preach through books of the Bible, you hit subjects and topics that you wouldn't normally hit. And that's a good way to go through a systematic study of the Word of God to get the congregants to hear, okay, the full counsel of God. Did you have something in particular that you were wanting to point out?
No, I was talking with my wife, and I went to an evening service at a different church that we don't normally attend. I shouldn't have even gone. And I just said to myself, I said, man, after I got out of the service, I said, I don't ever want to go back to another carnival. And yeah. You kind of get what I'm saying. I don't want to go back to another carnival.
Right.
And I just, that the Holy Spirit, we have to put more emphasis on the Holy Spirit that lives with inside of us and the love of Christ. And I just, a lot of people, it's the evil day. The scripture talks mm-hmm. about the evil day.
Right.
And we are in the evil day. And people are falling away because they don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't depend. They're not even taught to depend on the precious Holy Spirit and to get to know that the person of the Holy Spirit. And so
So remember this too, Roy. So Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall glorify me. So the emphasis, I believe, in the church needs to be on Jesus. And when we're Spirit-filled, we're going to glorify Jesus, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to do that. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, and he shines the spotlight not on himself, but on Jesus. Now, how do we live for Jesus? We live for Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing that will matter. So anything that we do that's out of the flesh is, God's opposed to the flesh. He hates the flesh. That's why Paul said, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So I agree with you that we need to encourage people that, hey, how do you live the Christian life? You live it in surrender to the Lord, to his Spirit that lives inside you, and you say, Lord, you who live in me, live through me. And the emphasis always needs to be on Jesus and Jesus alone. And how do we worship Jesus? Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside. So I appreciate that, Roy. God bless you, brother. Thank you for bringing that up. We have Kenny on the line from Oklahoma. Kenny, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I praise God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Real quick testimony. My good friend's son was healed of Parkinson's disease about 2 years ago. No Parkinson's disease for 2 years. The Lord Jesus Christ healed him. Okay, Pastor Jeff, what I want to present to you is this. There is a terrible, very grievous sin happening in America and the world, and that's the little children being indoctrinated in the public schools with the homosexual, transgender perversion. That makes God so angry. It's time that churches in America become Christian schools. The people of the church can take care of the finances for the parents, grandparents, the guardians that cannot afford that. The people of the church can take...
Yes. Well, I appreciate that, Kenny, and you're exactly right. Those things, they grieve the heart of the Lord, and it's on account of these things, as the Bible tells us, that the wrath of God will come. And so we need to be mindful of that. So thanks for the call. I'm sorry, Linda and John, we didn't get to you. But thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Tomorrow we welcome Rod Martin to the program, as we're going to talk about current events. So you're going to want to hear from Rod. We'll go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.